Welcome back to the Excess Reality Podcast, the podcast where two goofballs bring the future of XR into the present. I'm your host, Allison Day, and I am here with my co-host, Sun Nguyen.
Hello.
And we have our quest.
Yes.
We've started playing with things on our quest. So
incredibly excited.
The first thing we wanted to talk about today is some of the experiences we've done so far on the quest.
Yes.
And what we're looking to do in the future.
Yeah, yeah. So the first thing we tried, I tried a bunch of things.
Pretty much, he downloaded a bunch of free shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
And was like, what can I do that's free?
Pretty much. I'm frugal. What can I say? I got to go for the free stuff.
We haven't even bought Beat Saber yet.
We haven't bought anything yet. But we will, though. That's on.
Beat Saber is on my list of requirements.
On the plan for the future.
Gotta do it.
Because we want to incorporate some of these into our YouTube too. Do we want to record some of the VR stuff?
Since we've been doing YouTube gaming.
Yes.
We got to do it.
Yes.
We want to do some of our VR stuff, not just PC or PS4 or Switch or all that.
Exactly.
We've got the quest, so let's do some VR gaming. Yeah.
So I'm saving, at least that's my excuse. I'm saving for the paid content.
Paid content for when we've got the setup all ready to go.
Yeah, well, we got to clean the office.
And we don't have
office.
5 billion other things to do.
Yeah. Oh man,
so
I don't know.
Games.
I don't know when that's gonna.
So little time.
I don't know when that's gonna happen. That
Holy
we're gonna have some
geez.
Free time, but we're gonna make time for the VR.
I mean, we did just
really
watch the PS5 announcement stream today.
Lots of new games
as we're recording
out soon.
Yeah, so there's just so many games.
So excited for it. So yeah,
but we
next
will be
year.
Making time. We're working on getting it set up so that we can record.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not even there yet.
I've been doing research.
He's
on
been
how,
buying stuff and researching.
Yeah, research on how to record these things because
without making everybody nauseous.
Yeah, and also just recording it because there's the Quest one. You record a different way, and then when you plug in through Oculus Link. You
then
get
it mimics
to, you get,
the Rift.
You get you get access
a
to the Rift
way of doing it.
Library, and then there's a different way to record it. And I like to include you in it too somehow, or one of us in it. So both of us.
So
in
one
it.
Of us will be in the headset, and we'll have video of that. But then the other one will be reacting, kind of how we do our gaming videos,
it's like
anyways.
You're live reacting to the others, you know, playing poorly in VR, throwing up, being nauseous. But anyways, the first thing, the free thing I tried that I really enjoyed.
I think this was probably the very first one that you tried out.
Yeah, because it's free. I'm like,
free. It's
free
and you wanted to try the hand tracking.
Yes. And it was, last time we got the Quest was like 6 months ago. There was no
hand tracking was not a thing yet.
Yeah.
It wasn't even in beta or anything.
There's not a lot of content 6 months ago. And what six months has it made, right? The 6 months?
Really?
There's so many content,
we're
so many games. There's
we're very
hand tracking. There's just so many things to do on the Oculus Quest. And there's side quests, the thing
so
that allows you to load in different things that's not through
the Quest store.
And that opens up to so much content.
To do, so little time.
And we're going to leave, you know, all these links and stuff in the
show note.
In the show note. Mm-hmm. Or on description on YouTube.
So the first experience that we did, it's called Elixir.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much you are being not even hired. You're being interviewed to be the assistant to a sorceress.
Yes. Yes.
And screwing everything up.
Yes. Yes. And
it's
wonderful. It was a magical experience. Not because you're a sorceress, but it's magical in many sense. And I think
the
that
whole time he was trying this out, he was like, I feel like I'm at Universal Studios. I feel like I'm at Disneyland. Allison, you got to see this. It's so cool.
It's like, you know, it's fake, but it feels like you're transported into a different place.
The immersion of VR.
Yeah.
You don't really realize it when you're watching videos.
Yeah.
But some of these experiences are just immersive.
It just doesn't translate
and it's
into
2D. It's just so cool.
It's just you have to try some of these things. Like it does, when you watch these things, if you do not have a headset right now and you're watching some of these things in 2D,
realize
on YouTube
that it looks so much better.
So much
in
different.
Person.
Yeah. So much. Yeah. Yeah, and it was such a magical experience, and it was my first time playing with hand tracking and seeing my hands and being able to move my fingers, and it It's so magical. I don't know.
It is.
It's so cool.
It's definitely a different experience than from using the controllers.
Yeah, yeah. And the game was it utilized a lot of like all your fingers and hands, and you can dip your fingers into.
Move things and poke at things and turn things and grab things.
And it's on fire, some fingers on fire, and you're just poking the eyeballs as you're going through the level.
And it was, I think it was very, very well done. It's not a full game.
Yes.
It's definitely, I would consider it an experience.
An experience.
But it's just so magically done.
Yes, yes. It was so cool.
The assets are wonderful. The way that they did it is just so immersive. There's stuff to do. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, I think, our biggest experience that we went into that we were like, I want to make something like
this. Yeah, I feel inspired. I feel inspired by like doing something, making something cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think hand tracking is so wonderful, and it allows you to just, you know, be even more immersive than just having these two controller, right? Mm-hmm. So it's being even more immersive. You can use your finger. It feels natural.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to see what the next 6 months to year of all these new content coming out that utilize
hand tracking. I would also say that I still don't think VR is quite ready for mass adoption. And we'll talk a little more about that later. Yeah. But as a developer who we should be ahead of the curve, we should be getting into these things before mass adoption, because if mass adoption happens, we're already too late.
Yeah, for sure.
As a developer, this is really exciting. And I feel like this is such a great time to be a developer for VR experiences and VR games and AR and anything, XR, all of this.
Yeah.
Because the technology is getting to the point where you can have a really good experience, but it's not quite at the point where it's ready for just anybody and everybody to pick it up.
Yes.
Because, you know, there are still some issues with like motion sickness and things aren't quite perfect.
Yeah.
But I think the technology is going in that direction.
Yes.
And I'm hoping 5 years from now that VR will be something that everybody uses.
It's a common thing.
Yeah.
You know, every household is going to have a VR headset somehow, some way. Maybe through
PS. I mean, it's getting there.
Maybe through PS5, right?
Hey.
PlayStation 5.
Hey, this there weren't come any out VR announcements about that today.
I think they're still probably working on it.
But we've seen articles about like, oh, well, this is supposed to be coming with PS5. This is rumored to be with PS5. So
I'm sure Apple's going to get into the game pretty soon. I mean, everyone's getting into the game.
I mean, there are all
those
rumors about Apple.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm sure Oculus is going to come out with better ones. And
give me a lightweight headset, please.
Yeah, I think that's what everyone
wants.
Yes.
And I just need something lighter.
Yeah, no, it's a bit heavy.
My poor little head is just like,
I've
been in here for a minute. My neck is not strong enough for this.
Maybe you're wearing it wrong, Allison. But
I just have a tiny head.
Yeah, that's
compared
true
to you.
Too. That's very true.
IRL.
That's very true.
But yeah, it's like twice the size of mine.
Speaking of content that utilize hand tracking, we want to in the upcoming months, like we kind of allude to it,
we've mentioned this before.
Yeah, that we're gonna get into trying to do some fun stuff with it, experiment with the hand tracking.
There is still that VR tabletop jam.
Well, that's what I'm
tray table jam.
Yeah, that's what we're gonna.
That's coming up
on doing.
in August, July and August. So,
yeah.
If you want to play with hand tracking, you've got a quest.
This is for sure. And speaking of that, though, I did get into. I spent like maybe an hour getting into doing some starting development in Unity, using Unity and Oculus. I'm in Unity and I got it up and running. It was so well integrated. It was a lot smoother than I thought.
Yeah,
and you just click play and then it just
normally
you're in there.
I'm used to you just like yelling just, at tutorials,
just being like, why doesn't this work? Cursing at the tutorial.
And there was no cursing.
Yeah, it was like, wow.
No cursing at all.
Oh, click play, put on my headset, you know, connect to the link. Oh, I'm in there. Oh, Allison, come here. Look at, I'm inside this thing.
I'm in Unity.
I can just do stuff.
Blender now has, and we're skipping ahead a little bit, but Blender now has a way to experience to support VR.
Yes.
in Blender, so you can look at your models and everything. Yes. And you were playing with this too.
Yes, I've been trying
He's
to get back.
With everything. I've been playing. I'm so far behind.
I know you are, Allison, but it's okay.
There's so much to do.
It's okay. I feel like that's my only purpose on this podcast. Otherwise,
it will
just be a solo podcast with Allison. That's all I'm good for. No, but I've been playing a lot with Blender, trying to get back into game dev, because if we want to create experiences, games, mm-hmm. or whatever, we need to model.
Modeling is going to be so important. Yeah,
all that's going to be important. So I've been trying to get back into Blender, trying to do a lot of, trying to just do some animation,
tutorial,
some rigging and all the stuff. And so we're working on, I try the Blender, the VR support for Blender with the model I have, and I can see my little robot inside of it. And it was like, I can see it in 3D now. That is cool.
The flower defense robot.
That is cool. Yeah, the flower defense robot. That's one of our little game that we were just making.
Prototypes that we're working on.
Just to learn how to become better game devs.
Can you alter RMPG so you can be the arm?
Maybe I can be an arm and just
hand tracking.
With hand tracking. Yeah, that would be funny, right?
Scoot.
Yeah. Oh, that is a wonderful idea. Just macking things. And if you guys want to check out RMPG, I think that's one of our first game prototypes.
That was
we
one
did
of our first prototypes
this
yeah.
year. Check out on YouTube. The link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, we've got a devlog for RMPG. It's on itch.io, so you can actually go play it.
Yeah,
download it and play it.
Just play it.
But yeah, we'll put that in the show notes.
Yeah.
And if we ever do a VR version, we'll let you know.
It'll be interesting to convert that to it, though.
Yeah, yeah.
But going back to my experience with Blender and the VR support of it, it works pretty well. But the resolution is not there. Like I can see, because I'm modeling, I'm doing all my dev and modeling animation on a 4K monitor. So when
fancy.
I'm looking, so you expect it to be really crisp and clear, but then when I put in the on the headset, I'm looking at my model in 3D space, and I was like, it's cool, but it's not 3D, it's not there. But you know, granted, it's the Oculus, it's the resolution is not, you know,
it's not
4K.
This is not
quite the same.
But you won't be developing in the Oculus anytime soon.
I probably not, just because it's I think right now is in preview, so there you can view your stuff. So I don't think anyone is actually working in it, and it could be a little bit difficult. I think in future version they're probably gonna build out. I see that the direction they're heading towards, and I like it because they're building towards.
He's like, I just want to live my entire life in VR.
Yeah, more tools for you to be able to do these manipulation of vertices and meshes in 3D space. I think that's the future we're heading towards. And I think that's kind of cool.
Be able to model with your hands.
Yeah, just model just with your hand tracking and just pulling vertices in 3D space.
Yep.
I feel like that's going to be cool. But yeah, not there yet. But it was a cool preview.
It's cool to see the direction that these things are going.
Yes.
All right, so the other experience that we really enjoyed so far was one called Bait, and it's a fishing game. It's always got to be a fishing game. We love our fishing games.
Yes.
Hashtag bubba.
Let me click play on here. If you're watching on YouTube, we have a video version of it.
And if you're listening to the podcast, you can go check out youtube.com/sushicodes to see the video version of this.
Yeah.
Or check out our show notes on sushicodes.com.
Yes.
And we'll have a link to this.
Yes. But so we're playing it and we can see it in the background. But yeah.
It's pretty much a fishing game. It's a chill fishing game. There's so many different fish you can catch. There's different locations. It's like a better version of Bobbabop.
Yeah, pretty much. But our game is
a mobile game that we made last year.
Yeah.
But it was just very relaxing.
It's very well done.
And satisfying.
Well done. Yeah.
And extremely immersive.
Yeah.
Like when I took off the headset, I was just like, wait, I'm in a room.
I'm not in the swamp anymore.
What just happened?
I'm not. I want to go back to the swamp.
I thought I was in about a big old lake, tropical lake or a swamp.
Yeah.
But it was very enjoyable.
It was very enjoyable. Like you see, it's just like the previous game that we talk about, the Elixir game. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look around the scene, you know it's fake.
Yeah.
You know, everything is fake because
it's not trying for realism necessarily. Yeah. It's obviously a game.
Yeah. But it feels like you're
really
at Disneyland.
Feels like you're in it.
Or yeah. Universal Studio, mm-hmm. where you just, they transport you into this different world.
And yeah.
It's fake, but it's like, oh, I'm escaping reality. So it's just really polished, really mm-hmm. well done. And you got pretty addicted to this game, Allison. I left you out there. We cleaned up the living room for our VR.
Move the table. We've got our VR space now.
And Allison was I left her out there for and I came back and an hour later
like
and she's still playing.
Later, yeah. I'm still playing. But I mean, that was also something that I found really cool about it, because I'm not always able to stay in VR games that long.
Yeah.
Because I do have a tendency for motion sickness and vertigo. Mm-hmm. And for the majority of the game, I didn't have problems with it. I was, because like fishing, you're pretty much just sitting still and like throwing the thing, reeling yeah. it in. So there's not much motion happening. The only place where it was a little odd for me was in the store scene.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I don't know if it's because everything was closer. This scene where you're talking to
Jim Bob
and like buying stuff, getting your new quests, yeah. going to different locations.
Yeah.
But yeah, it felt very, very close.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
looking around in it,
it was a
made
little,
me a little dizzy, and it did the same thing to you too.
I think it's like a little parallax effect.
Maybe.
You know, parallax. So where the background kind of move funny.
Right.
And then when you,
so it
you turn and then
it's just a little disorienting.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I think if you don't
it
pay attention
really
to
cool
it.
Was really cool and really well
done. Yeah.
But like that scene did make me a little dizzy. But yeah. then the main scenes where you're just fishing.
Sitting.
I was totally fine.
It was so,
I was just
it
like.
Was so cool.
Totally okay. Just chilling there and fishing.
Yeah. yeah.
Even though. The quality could be improved, but I think that's more of a quest thing,
yeah.
not this game.
Yeah.
Because like sometimes there's a little bit of like the water would kind of flash a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about the hardware that is not that still need to be
right.
You know, it's not
hardware
the best
problem,
hardware.
Not a problem
yeah.
with the game itself.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was. Yeah, it was a really
but
fun
I,
game.
It I
was
liked
just so
it.
Like the first time I tried
chill.
It on my
it.
Chair, I don't know if you remember. It's like, woo, I'm fishing. I'm in.
Was
a,
this
I'm
when
on
you
lake.
Punched your monitor?
I don't think so. Well, I punched my monitor many times, but it was
the
not
monitor. He's punched the wall.
Yeah, yeah. I punch pretty much a lot of things around this table.
He
where
hasn't
I'm sitting
punched
at right
me
now.
Yet.
Just, because you're sitting
because
pretty
I
far.
I know
you're
to
pretty...
stay out of the way.
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're in VR. I'm gonna go to the other room.
yeah.
I'm gonna stay away because that's dangerous.
But yeah,
I have not punched anything yet this time around.
No, last time, the first time you did, you punched.
Last time I punched a bookcase.
And did
oh,
you bleed?
I had a bump. I had like a welt.
Yeah. I think it was internal bleeding. It was
maybe
bleeding
a bad
internally.
Bruise. Yeah. it was very painful. Like
yeah.
I was in tears because it was so painful.
Yeah.
I haven't too. Punched anything this time though. I'm staying away from things.
I mean,
that's
you punched,
why.
You punched the edge of the bookcase.
I got the corner of the
yeah,
bookcase.
That is, yeah, that would hurt. That would make anyone make me weep.
<not fun.
laughs> yeah.
Yeah. So. Fair warning.
Yeah.
Make sure they always tell you this and then you get cocky, but
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Make sure you are in
it's dangerous.
A safe
it's dangerous,
space but... where you can't punch things.
Yeah.
When you're in VR. He's gonna break one of his monitors one of these days.
I mean, yeah, that's why I kinda slide back a little bit when I'm doing this because
but then you get turned around and you
yeah,
punch the wall.
And then you get disoriented because there's many times I'm doing different things and I'm like, I yell at Allison because we share the office. Am I facing the wall right now? Tell me because I'm about to punch something right now.
At least you know to ask though.
Yeah.
At least you're self-aware enough.
True.
To ask me instead of just going
true.
For it and then we have a hole in the wall. And
then, yeah. And I have to deal to
had
the
a broken
ER.
Fist
I think
just...
I'm more worried about going to the ER. Yeah. Yeah. With everything that's going on right now. But yeah, it was a fun game. I really enjoy it. I it's free.
Mm-hmm.
And I
yeah,
think
both
there's,
of these experiences that we talked about are free.
Yeah, and I
because it's going for the free stuff right now.
I believe there's a in the game.
There's in-game purchase.
There's in-game purchase, so it's kind of like going towards the mobile game model,
yeah.
which is fine. Which is fine. I'm happy with
He's
that.
Like,
I, free
I'm
game,
cool.
I'm
I don't
good.
Have to buy anything.
I'm good. Free game. I'm down with that. So yeah, in the near future, there's a lot of games we want to try.
This is my question for you. What are some of the games that you've been, games or experiences that you've been looking at that you want to try out?
Oh, all of them.
I mean, Beat Saber, obviously.
Beat Saber.
What else? Half-Life,
especially Half-Life Alyx. So I'm really looking towards to that one because that's going to be really immersive.
I know there's that Iron Man one that's in development. I don't think it's out yet.
Man,
I'm a little scared of that though because I feel like flying as Iron Man, I'm gonna get so dizzy.
I don't know about that.
Like, hopefully they're taking that into account.
I hope so, and I think that brings it to the point where we talk about how you're saying you don't think it's ready, and I don't know if this is ever gonna be ready.
It's ready, but I think it's a known problem.
Yeah,
and so many people are working on it. So
are we talking about the same thing here, Allison? I'm talking about locomotion. Are you talking about?
We're talking about two different things.
Yes, we always
talk along the same line.
Can we just keep going about different things and then maybe it'll just converge?
We're gonna have two different conversations. It's gonna be great.
It'll converge.
I was talking more about the vision thing.
The vision, yeah.
No, and nausea, motion sickness, all of that.
Actually, before we get to that topic, I'd like to talk about the locomotion because I don't know if we ever gonna get.
We can go to what you're.
If it's
about.
Ever gonna get fixed, Allison. Especially with locomotion of, because
so
right now games that moves you.
When you talk about locomotion, you're talking about moving in the game.
Yeah, a game that moves you.
Okay.
Without you moving.
We're not talking about this Link.
Yeah, but it's okay. It's okay. Yes. We can talk about that soon. But I just want to think about.
Well, okay. The thing with locomotion for me is I think a lot of the solutions of transporting.
Yeah.
Are good. The only way. And of course, I'm not an expert. I'm just kind of saying stuff.
Yeah.
But I feel like the only way that you're going to solve locomotion is with external tools. Because I know anyone who's been looking at VR stuff, you've seen like the treadmills.
Yeah.
That you can walk around, walk in any direction. And I feel like that is a good way, a reasonable way. If they can get the treadmills working well enough, then you can actually move around and feel like you're moving around. And it,
because
the locomotion is never going to be solved if your body isn't experiencing the same.
Yes, because there's a disconnect.
Yeah.
And then you feel nausea.
Right. It's like I'm moving, but my body's not moving. Yeah. And that was actually an interesting thing that you observed when you were playing all these different experiences and stuff in the last week, is that when you're in a vehicle and the outside world is moving.
Yes.
You don't get nauseous the same way that you
not
do.
Not as bad, yes.
If your in-game body is moving.
Yes. I'm going to try. We can talk about that game next week, next podcast. But go ahead.
I just thought that was really interesting because it's the same idea of being in a car in real life where you don't really feel like you're moving most of the time.
But the
world's moving by you.
The key with that, Allison, is that what I feel like is when the reason why I didn't experience nausea so badly is because I can see the car, the frame of the car, that the spaceship that I'm in as it moves.
That was a spaceship. Okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Like a spaceship, but car spaceship. But it moves. It's a vehicle that moves, but I can see the frame.
So you have a point of reference.
Yeah. Yes. I think
this
that's
is
key.
Actually something that even in real life is relevant.
Yeah.
Because in aerial arts, there's a lot of spinning.
Yes.
And you can get really, really motion sick from that.
I see what you're saying.
And the way that they tell you to train yourself is look at a point on your body.
Yes.
Because that will be moving with you.
Oh, really? Look at the point of your body? I
so,
always
like,
thought
you
that
can
you
see
look at
your
a
hand
point.
Or something.
Yeah. I see.
And that's turning with you.
Oh, that's.
You won't get as dizzy.
Let me try that right now.
All right. Go spin.
Go spin right now and see.
Because, like, in when you're doing, like, hoop or something,
yeah.
you don't spot. The same way you would if you were a dancer. Dancers spot, but aerialists do
okay, that's
not
what
spot.
I was always taught because you know me, I'm a trained, a classical ballet trained
ballerino.
So I've been
He's
taught
never
this.
Done ballet in his life.
No, but you know, like we've done like ballroom dancing before and you twirl and
that's
stuff
how we
like
met.
That. I hate to be the one that's spinning, but you know, I spin
but
Allison.
You see the ballroom dancers when they're doing those spins.
But they spot.
They're always spotting.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was always
So dancers spot. Okay. All right. Aerialists do not. But aerialists also spin a hell of a lot faster.
Yes.
Because some of them are just like whipping around. What if you have nothing, not even an exaggeration.
What if you have nothing to use as a point of reference?
You can usually see some part of your body or your apparatus.
I see. That's smart. That's smart. Huh.
So it's like, look at your foot, look at your hand, look at the hoop. Yeah. Look at something that's moving with you.
Yes. Yes. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah.
But so that's why I feel like the having that vehicle that is stationary to relative to you.
Yes. Helps.
It helps kind
quite
of
a bit.
Center
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
And you don't feel as dizzy from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really interesting to me how dizziness and all of these things work.
Yeah, how your mind works and how that it's just,
it's just the weirdest thing.
I don't think, you know, millions of years of evolution has trained our brain for this moment.
No, we don't need to spin like crazy.
I don't think so.
I don't see why there isn't an evolutional purpose for this.
Yeah, but no, but that you answer my question, though. I think that's the only way. Like you said,
having a constant point of reference or moving with you.
Or you're moving in real life, like those apparatus and stuff, which we're going to talk about next week, I think, right? Like haptic devices and stuff like that. We're going to talk about it next episode.
I was like, we're talking about aerial apparatuses?
Yeah, we are. Are we going to change this podcast?
All right, this
into
is a
just
circus podcast now.
Circus.
Go check out the artist athlete. That actually is another podcast that she talks about circus stuff.
Oh.
But anyways.
We'll leave that in the show note too.
Yes,
but we'll discuss that more.
But and we'll definitely be coming back to haptics.
Yeah.
Just repeatedly in the future, because I think it's something that's just so cool.
Yes.
And it's interesting to see how people are trying to solve these different problems of experiencing things and wanting to also feel them in real life.
Yes. Yes. So next topic.
Yes.
Here, Allison.
Yes.
Is the Oculus Link update to improve visual stability of up-close content under fast head motions. So I think this has a little bit to do with the motion stuff that we're talking about, but it's interesting because they're using machine learning, artificial intelligence to kind of predict where you're moving your hands or the hand motion
or
the controllers or your head so that they can show it so that it doesn't, because you know, you when you move your hand, there's certain momentum,
right?
And it
like
most likely
going to end up here, or if you're moving your head real fast, you're most likely going to end up here.
So physics going to carry you to the next place, so they're trying to improve on that, and I think it's in beta right now. I think V18 right now. We're on V17
Office. Right, that's where we got hand tracking. V17 it just came out.
Yes, on V18 they're gonna try to improve this, so I can't wait to try this out. I can't wait, and we'll report back
absolutely
if things are gonna get better or worse or whatnot. So
everything's going in different directions. Why is my hand over there, my hand's over here? What?
It's like, no, you're doing it wrong.
Either everything's great or everything's broken.
Yes So we'll
let you know.
We'll let you know. yes
The next thing we wanted to talk about today is something that started with a tweet on Twitter from a VR developer named Danny Bittman. And he was talking about how he went to his eye doctor and realized that his eyesight had degraded just a huge amount in the last few years.
Yes.
And he's been doing VR tilt brush.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
And so staying in VR for like 6 hours a day for years.
I think he mentioned he spent about 10,000 plus hours in the past, maybe
three to four years. I think,
something like that. Yes.
And he was saying how he already started with some, like his eyesight was not perfect before this, but that his doctor was saying that it's degraded much more than you would normally expect.
Yes.
And that they think it's because of all of his VR usage.
Yes.
And this was kind of one of the things of why I was saying that I don't think VR is quite ready for mass adoption yet.
Yes.
Because a lot of us do still get nausea, motion sickness.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll come out of VR and just feel like I'm cross-eyed.
Yes. Yes.
I think that's
too.
A common thing.
Yes.
To feel like it's just doing weird things to your eyes. Some people will get headaches. So this is a known problem.
Yes. And do you know why that's the problem, though?
It's because of the close focal point.
Okay. And it's a single focal too, right? Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know.
So you're just focusing at this point for hours and hours and hours.
Yes.
And it's really close to your eyes. So you kind of are getting a little cross-eyed. I mean, it reminds me of how my parents, when I was a kid, used to tell me, don't sit so close to the TV.
Yes.
And you need to look outside every 20 minutes.
And what did
make sure you're focusing on different things.
And what did you end up doing the last decade?
I'm a programmer. I just stare at the screen.
8 hours plus a day.
Or read.
Single focus point too.
But I don't have glasses yet.
Yes. Luckily.
We are both the only people
I know
in both of our families who don't wear glasses.
I know. I feel like knock on wood, right? Knock on wood, because I one of these days we're just gonna be just wearing glasses and it just go
we're both gonna zero go to 100.
Yeah.
At the same time. It's gonna be great.
But you know, amazingly, we're still good.
I'm holding off for the Apple glasses.
Oh yeah, that's right. By the time we need glasses.
It'll be cool to wear glasses.
Yeah, that's right. And if everyone could be wearing glasses.
This is my grand plan.
Yes.
Everything's okay.
I never thought about that. That was a good idea. I'm not afraid of glasses anymore.
No, you'll be wearing glasses before you even need them.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be like
and then when you do the need them, nobody's going to even notice because you'll already be wearing glasses.
Well, I'll be wearing glasses anyway.
It'll be the thing that everybody does.
Exactly.
Contacts will no longer all the contact businesses will go out of business because everybody's going to be wearing glasses.
It's cool. That's cool. I mean, just like everyone has iPhone now, you know?
Until now, it's the VR contacts.
Yes.
10, 20, 30 years
I think
from now.
Maybe 20 years, I think.
You think?
I don't know. I can never put contact
lens
on.
All right, so 2040.
Have you ever... Wait, why would I ask you? You don't wear glasses. Have you ever... I don't know. I don't know how people do that. They just stick their finger into their eyes and...
You get used to it.
You can't get used to it. Austin, it's like saying getting used to...
I'm a woman.
Yes.
I've gotten used to putting makeup on.
Oh.
At like eyeliner.
Oh yeah, that I can't. I don't know if I can do that either.
I don't really wear fake lashes, but like I've had to do it for performances and stuff.
Yes.
And so that's like putting glue and like putting a thing right on your eye.
I don't know.
Or like having my makeup done for performances.
Yes.
When somebody else is up in your eye.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
I'm not great at it, but I can deal with it. So you get used to it.
I guess
You really get used to it if you do it often enough.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, I've never worn contacts, not even like colored ones.
It's just the thought of having something in your kind of sitting on your eyeball. You know, imagine that you get a piece of dirt or eyelashes just kind of stuck in it.
You have to take it out and
but my point is like having something on your eye next to your eyeball is just it's so irritating and now having a whole
it's because you're thinking about it.
Anyways.
Obviously this is an issue, but I think it's an issue that just as with the motion sickness.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that people are trying to solve because I know we've talked about like the variable distance thing that I think Oculus is working on. And then there's this other article that we had about using mirrors instead of lenses, because right now everybody's using lenses.
Mm.
And they're talking about how mirrors might be a better way to not have sickness, not have headaches and eye problems and all of this. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out.
Yeah,
if everybody's just like over lenses in a couple of years, or if somebody else finds some solutions with lenses, or it's still a very volatile industry.
Yeah, it's nobody really
knows. Everything's changing.
Yeah,
and that's one of the big reasons why I keep saying that I don't think it's ready for the mass adoption yet, because everything's changing so fast right now.
Yeah.
There's so much. Everybody's figuring things out. It's becoming popular enough that I do think it will hit mass adoption.
Yes.
Eventually.
Yes.
But there are still big problems and important problems that need to be solved first.
Yes.
Because, I mean, every time we talk about VR on stream, for example, on our Twitch stream, there's always people who are like, oh, well, I tried it and I got sick and I don't like it.
That was us.
Six months ago.
Yeah,
we've returned it because we were like,
this is not ready. This is too heavy. It's not ready.
I'm getting so motion sick out of everything. And
I think the key is to know what you can take, your body can take, what, and, and stay away. But oh yeah, speaking of that, I didn't write this, I didn't add this to the topic we want to discuss today, but I did try out a meditation app, meditation software.
He noped experience. Out of that one so fast.
Yeah, meditation software or whatever you call it, app experience on PsyQuest. And I was like, you know what? I'm stressed right now. There's so much going on.
I'm gonna
use this headset thingy and try to meditate. Put that on, and this thing is asking me to breathe. Put the little controller on my stomach or something like that. And when I breathe, it comes out and in, so it moves. So it control.
So it can track your breathing.
Yes, and every time I breathe in and out, I get moved. In this forest,
it like transports you through the forest.
Yeah
So you're taking a journey through the forest.
And at first I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. I mean, it's so atmospheric. I feel like I'm in a forest. I hear birds singing. It's so peaceful. And then I started moving and I'm like, nope, I'm out of this. I'm like, I can't do this. I'm gonna throw up.
The opposite of calm.
Yeah, I know. So I think you gotta, now that we know what,
at least for us, we know that we can't be moving in VR or else we will get sick.
Yes. So we know what we're capable of handling and we kind of manage it.
I am curious though, if it's just a certain subset of people or if this is everybody.
That's what I'm trying to figure out too.
So if you have used VR and you've done the kind of experiences where you're moving in, you know, through space, how does it make you feel? Are you the kind of person who gets nauseous just like us? Are you actually okay with it? Like, I want to know if we're just part of the subset of people who get sick from it, or
can't handle it.
Everybody does.
Yeah,
so
we VR
very informal poll. Let us know
on YouTube,
either on YouTube or in our show notes on sushicodes.com.
And we'll report back if
the results of our unofficial poll.
We'll report back if anyone's like, we're gonna get a bunch of people who's saying, no, that's never been a problem. I don't know what your problem is.
You're just weird.
Yeah.
You're just a wuss. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for watching.
For the visual version and our goofy facial expression, check us out at youtube.com/sushicodes.
And if you want to find our podcast on your favorite providers, we are on iTunes, Spotify, and SoundCloud.
And like always, for all of our show notes, check us out on sushicodes.com.
And if you want to help support our podcast and our YouTube and everything we do, we are on Patreon at patreon.com/sushiday.
See you next week. Bye-bye. Bye.